Open up in a word of prayer, guys. God, thank you so much for letting us gather here today. Lord, thanks for every age group that gathers here because of you, God. We're here because of you, not because of our age, but because we realize who you are, that you are the Christ, you are the King, God. So we give you this time, Lord, in worship with our minds. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you guys ever Googled yourself? You ever put your name in Google and saw what comes up? Yeah? Anything good come up? No, yeah, me neither. Like, I was hoping to put, like, AJ Villegas, and like somebody had dedicated this page to me, like a secret organization, this secret fan club that I had, but there was nothing, dude. The only thing that I came up with was that there was this one guy named Camilo Villegas, who has the exact same last name as me, but that was it. That's the soonest thing I could, the most similar thing I could find. And he's a pro golfer, I guess. And I mean, that's it? That's all I get is a golfer name? Come on. But anyways, so I like to golf. But when I used to golf, like before this guy became popular, apparently this Camilo guy is pretty popular. So before this guy, I would always go play golf. And you know, when it's your turn to play, they come tell you it's your turn and they announce your name on the loudspeaker. So that I would be like, yes, the AJ V, and I just know it was my turn because they couldn't like pronounce it. And now they're like, the AJ Villegas twosome, because, you know, where I play in pairs of twos, but they expect me to be like all legit at golf and stuff like that just because I share the same last name as like a pro golfer. And I'm like, dude, I'm not. But anyways, the point here is that I was on Google and I was looking up velocity. I wanted to see what came up and how we could define ourselves. What would come up if I put velocity in Google? What to see how we could define ourselves as Velocity, this youth church. And here's a couple things that I found out about Velocity. Velocity is an aircraft manufacturer. Doesn't do us much good, right? Indoor skydiving location. Although fun, doesn't really tell us much about ourselves. A sports performance center and an art design company. Well, these didn't give me very much help in my explanation as who we are as a youth church. I wanted to boil Velocity down to its irreducible minimum. Do you guys know what irreducible minimum is? It means like you can't, it's not divisible anymore. You can't divide it anymore. It's like, what if somebody asked you about your personality and they just let you go for it? Maybe you're like, oh, I'm pretty handsome and I'm pretty smart and I'm tall and I'm this. And you just like keep rambling off all these things, right? But what if somebody said you had three words to do it? I mean, what three words would you guys use? What would you give yourselves to incorporate everything you are into just these three little words? And so that's what I wanted to do here today. With many people coming in and many people leaving, I thought it was important for us to realize and know exactly who we are as Velocity. And I define Velocity today in three words. God. God is Velocity. You are Velocity, and we are Velocity. That's the us part. God, you, and us is what Velocity is all about. So I'm going to start off today with the most important part of Velocity, which is God. I'm going to tell you guys to go to Matthew 16, verse 17. For all you fifth graders, get used to bringing your Bibles, guys. We're going to be digging in them all the time. Get used to going where we're going. So Matthew 16, 17 through 19. Let me give you a little setup here. Peter had just told Jesus that he is the Christ. He had just confessed that Jesus was his Lord. So let's read what he says after this. Jesus said to Peter after this, Jesus answered and said to him, Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. So Velocity, our church, is included in what Jesus calls his church. When he says, I will build my church, that means he's going to build Velocity too, because this is his church too. He maintains this place. Jesus is always our head pastor, and we always need to remember that, guys. When people leave that we love and people come that are new, like new fifth graders, with Kevin leaving, with all this stuff going on, it's always so important to remember that Jesus stands here as our head pastor. He's the reason we all gather here, you guys. So why is God Velocity? Because everything you guys will see that we do in Velocity is God-centered. There is no event, no service, nor anything we do here without keeping the gospel in the forefront of our minds, the most important thing, without looking for shadows of the gospel. You guys know what the shadow is, right? Like, look at these lights. They're bigger. They're projecting this whole bright light across this whole stage, and they're creating this shadow on me. It's so big and powerful, this beam, that it's causing a shadow, and they can see me behind it. And that's how the gospel is. It's so big, so powerful. It projects everywhere. And everything we do here at Velocity, we look for that, the gospel in everything we do. And it can be found in everything we do here because we are so God-centered. Without God, we wouldn't be here, you guys. Without Jesus' sacrifice, there would be no reason to gather here. There would be no church. We would still be sacrificing animals like in the Old Testament. There'd be no New Testament, no church, and no Velocity. And I love this passage we just read because it doesn't say that Peter is the foundation of the church. Let's read chapter 16, verse 17 again. Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Can you guys imagine if Peter was like the head of our church, if Peter was like the foundation of our church? I mean, you guys remember the story, right? Peter, like, when they came to come get Jesus, Peter, like, slashed that guy's ear off. That'd be pretty bad if Peter was like the foundation of the church, right? We probably wouldn't even have ears. He'd be all like wielding his sword all the time and things like that. You know what I mean? But they probably wouldn't even be able to hear the preacher because we were like, none of us had an ear. But that's why Jesus is the foundation. You know what I mean? The foundation is the most important part of a building. If one of us, as mere humans, were the foundation of this place of Velocity, this place would sink. We would never make it, you guys. If we were the foundation, we would never make it. We would sink, and the church would never have made it this long. That reminds me of this story. I was doing some research on sinking buildings, and I found out that in Indiana, they were building this 600,000 square foot mall. Like, dude, that's a gigantic mall, right? And it was so big, and they built it next to these houses that slowly the houses started to sink and sink. And they went and talked to the contractor and said, "Hey, I think your building's causing our houses to sink." And they're like, "No, it's not. It's just natural settling of your house. Don't blame it on us." And then after a week, one guy woke up and his house had sunk 5 feet, and now his basement had been completely flooded in like a foot and a half of water. So, but I mean, that's exactly how it would be. We'd be in a foot and a half of water, if not way more, if Jesus wasn't our foundation. If we were the foundation, we would be sinking. But luckily, Jesus is the builder. He says, "I will build my church." I love that sense of Jesus saying he's a builder. You know what I mean? I like to think about Jesus like on a construction site, you know, with his like reflective vest on, you know what I mean? And like a hard hat, and he's all got his blueprints out, you know, like deciding where he's going to do. And he's got like angels and bulldozers, you know, it's like beep, 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 you know what I mean? Like people backing up and like this huge construction site. I like to think about Jesus like that way because he's building this church. You know what I mean? And that's the best part, is that Jesus is the rock who we build this whole Velocity after. The rock that Jesus is going to build his church off of is Peter's recognition that Jesus was God. Not off of Peter, but by Peter's recognition that Jesus was God. The church doesn't depend on Peter, but it began with Peter. You know, as much as I like to make fun of Peter, and I just did, you know, talking about him cutting off people's ears and stuff like that, he was the first one to realize Jesus' true identity as the Christ, right? He was the first one to say, "You are the Christ, the Son of God." Therefore, that made Peter the first member of our church. I mean, why are we considered a church? Why is Velocity considered a church? Because that's how you become part of the church, through confession that Jesus is the Christ. That's what Jesus meant when he said he will build his church on this rock, which was the confession. And that's why he continuously builds up Velocity, because we continually confess Jesus as the Christ here at Velocity. That's why he continues to raise up this ministry, raise up people, raise up you guys, because we are continuously here to say that we believe that Jesus is who he says he is. So Velocity is a church and centered around this builder, Jesus. If the church is built off of this confession that Jesus is the Christ, then all of us who choose to say he's the Christ, we must take part in this, right? I mean, we choose to say he is Jesus, Son of God. Nobody forces us to say that. We don't have to say that if we don't want to, but we choose to because we recognize his deity. We recognize who he is. So the next point I want to talk about is that you are velocity. Because obviously if you have made this choice to say that Jesus is who he is, the builder of this church, then you must be part of velocity. So for this, we're going to go to Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Romans, about right after the Gospels, right after Acts, first chapter. Getting there. Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes in it. I just want to pause right here. Now, I don't know the fifth graders that well, and I want to get to know you guys really well. But when I think about this verse, I am not ashamed of the gospel, it makes me think of so many of you who I have come to know here in Velocity. It just blows me away at the faith that some of you guys have at this young age. And I'm so jealous. I wish I knew about Jesus when I was this age. I wish it would have saved me so much heartache in the long run. I see some of you guys live in this godly lifestyle, and this verse reminds me of you, that you are not ashamed of the gospel. And I would say, fifth graders, there are so many people here to look up to. Jesus is our ultimate example, but some of these 6th, 7th, and 8th graders, they're following so hard after God right now. It is such fuel for you guys to want to live a different lifestyle that's so great. And this is the you part of Velocity. It's not about just coming here to Velocity. It's not about just, you know, showing up and then leaving. It's the 24/7 godly lifestyle that no matter where you're gathered, whether you're here with everybody, with believers, your best friends, or you're in a crowd of people who you do not know, you still live this godly lifestyle that you are not ashamed of the gospel. So living for God requires you to make the choice to live a different lifestyle that doesn't conform to this world. So what you guys choose to do over the next years of your life, no matter what age you are, this isn't just for fifth graders or sixth or seventh, no matter what age you are, whatever you choose to do now will shape the years to come. You guys know the example, you guys will reap what you sow, right? You guys have heard that before. You know what that means, you know? If you plant, obviously, some tomatoes, then you're going to get tomatoes. You know what I mean? So the same thing. If you guys plant well here in your middle school years, with godly things, with faith, with biblical knowledge, then in high school, when things get a little bit tougher, you're going to reap all those things that you've sowed. Your high school years were going to be completely so much better because your middle school years were spent with God, planting and in faith. You know, I was just at a student's school the other day. She had like a graduation thing going on, and she invited me, and so I went. And I was completely blown away. I found out that one of her teachers told me, and she never even told me this, which is so cool because that's so humble, but her teacher told me that she had started a prayer group at her school that over 30 kids attend now. And she's an eighth grader, so she's going to be a freshman next year, and that prayer group will still meet when she is not there. That blows me away that she's so not ashamed of the gospel, that she would preach that and she would tell people that I'm not afraid to start a prayer group in my public school. I'm not afraid to say that Jesus is who he is. And you guys can all do that too. Let me tell you guys, you're going to never, ever, ever regret giving all to God, giving everything you have to God here at Velocity. So how can you guys become part of Velocity? How can you make the most of your time here at Velocity? First and foremost, by committing your life to Jesus. There's nothing else matters. Everything else will be in vain. There's no point in doing anything unless you have not first committed your life to Christ. That is the most important thing you can ever do. It starts everything. That is the foundation, the record like we talked about. The foundation is confessing that Jesus is who he is. Next would be to diligently seek after God. This means daily prayer, daily quiet time so you guys can hear what God is trying to tell you. This means daily Bible study. It means living a godly lifestyle out in the world, right? And sticking up for Jesus in your schools. You know what I mean? You guys, they're trying to teach you a bunch of stuff that is wrong out there. Evolution, all those things, you know? That means sticking up for Jesus in your classes. It's a 24/7 deal. It means giving all you guys have here in worship, in teachings, paying attention, not distracting your friends, not doing those things. You guys are going to have so many opportunities here at Velocity. You guys are going to have so many opportunities here. We have stuff going on all the time. We have events, 421. We have mission trips, summer camps, outreaches for you guys to serve at. And of course, everything you're going to do, you're going to make a ton of friends and have a ton of fun doing it. You're going to be given so much responsibility. Now maybe some of you are like, oh man, responsibility usually equals me taking the garbage out. That's what responsibility means to me. You know what I mean? But it doesn't. Responsibility is a good thing. Think about it like this. Man, I remember when I got the responsibility to drive a car. I was like, yes, I got a car now and a driver's license. That's what I'm talking about. You know, that's a responsibility that you want. And that's what this can be too, you guys. This is a great responsibility that you're going to be given here at Velocity. But you guys know there's two sides to every story. There's two sides to everything. You guys could also come here and you could waste your time and you could not care about anything and you could just come because your parents tell you have to be here or because it's something to do in the morning to pass the time. You know, you could do those things, but you're going to miss out on so much. I'm telling you guys right now, you're never going to regret it. You will never regret committing your life to God. You'll never regret it. There has never been anybody who's ever regretted their commitment to God. Nobody. Never. Do you guys know what, in physics, what the word velocity means? Let me tell you, because I didn't know either. It means the rate of change of a position, both in speed and direction. So think about a wandering person. And that's what many people are doing when you don't know the Lord. You're a wanderer. You go to this direction and this direction. So you're attaining velocity because you're changing speed and direction, but it's usually slow and nothing really much going on. You know what I mean? But think about attaining high velocity would be for you to make a quick change, maybe from your old lifestyle, from your old habits, from things you guys were doing out in the world, making a quick change and focusing on a direction, that direction being God, and then going very quickly towards that direction. You've made a quick turn towards the path, which is God, and you're going high velocity, high speed to get to God. You want to know God more. So you're going to go in a certain direction. Direction is God. And you're going to go at a speed. That speed is fast. That means giving it all you have to God. That means it's like running a marathon for God. It's like running a sprint. You know what I mean? It's not like you're just, you know, speedwalkers. Like, you know what I mean? Speedwalking's lame. But it's like a dead sprint towards God. You know what I mean? That's the best part. But like I said, it's up to you guys to make that first step and trust him and say to yourself that I am not ashamed of the gospel. And I know its power. It's power to save people. Because I am not ashamed of the gospel. And you guys shouldn't be ashamed of the gospel either. So if God, like we talked about before, is part of velocity, and you are part of velocity, then that's plural, right? That's two people. Then that means us. That's us. That means God and I, we make a velocity. That means God and you, you and I, we all make a velocity. So God is us. And that's our next point. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12 through 26. It's going to be a little bit long, but you guys are going to, you're going to get it all. We're going to put it all together here. You're going to see how it goes. So 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 26. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so in Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, all have been made to drink into one Spirit. I'm going to be on verse 14 now. If you guys are getting catching up, for in fact the body is not one member but many. If the foot should say, "Because I am a hand, I am not of the body," is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an ear, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleased. Verse 19. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need for you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need for you. No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable are these we bestow greater honor on. And our unrepresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given great honor to the part which it lacks, that there should be no schism in the body, but that all the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, then all the members suffer. You guys can imagine how many parts of an airplane there are. Okay, how about one Boeing 747? How many parts do you think it has? Janae? Oh, you cheater. You were here last night. Okay. Janae just spoiled it for everybody. But no, there's 6 million parts to one Boeing 747. There's 171 miles of wire in that one plane. That's from like here to Taos, if you guys ever been there. One plane, that's a lot of wiring, right? 65,000 gallons of gas it can hold. Dude, that's a lot of money, you know what I mean? So think about this though. Each one of those 6 million parts plays a very important role in this plane coming off the ground, right? I mean, what if you had a perfectly prepared plane but no wheels? What would you do? You couldn't, it wouldn't work. Each part has a very necessary part to play in this thing coming off the ground, in its flight. So out of those 6 million parts, you have one plane. 6 million parts, but just one singular plane. And that's exactly how velocity works. And even greater, that's how the body of Christ works. There are many of us, and we come together to make velocity. There are many of us, but we come together to make velocity. I'm going to read 20 through 26 again, because I really want you guys to understand this. But now, indeed, there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need for you, nor the head to the feet, I have no need for you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are more necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor than the unrepresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given great honor to the part which it lacks. And there should be no schism in the body, but the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And if one is honored, all are honored with it. So imagine if these 6 million parts of this one Boeing 747 said that they wanted to all be wheels. We don't want to all be wheels. You know what I mean? Congratulations. You have 6 million wheels now, but you can't go anywhere with these things. You know, you got like 6 million wheels that are like this big. Like, what are you going to do with those? You know what I mean? You need every single part. Every single part is just as important as the other part, or else we would never get anywhere. We would never be able to fly. And the point I want to make here, you guys, is that you guys are all different parts. You guys are all very different people. You guys go to different schools. You guys come from different places. You have different backgrounds. You have different families. You guys look different. You guys are all different. You act different. But despite all those differences, we all come together to make something very important, something bigger than ourselves, and that is velocity, this church that God has built. And it's when we all work together as this team, as this cohesive 6 million parts, or how many people are here, is when we can fly and that we can soar to new great heights in God. It's only together. Verse 25, one more time. And that the body should have, I'm sorry, that there should be no schism in the body, but all members should have the same care for one another. Listen, you guys, the world tells you to segregate people. The world tells you that these people who are considered unpopular, that we should cast them aside. But that's not what it should be like for us. Paul says here in 1 Corinthians that we should be caring for one another. We should be encouraging one another to live for God. We should be helping our brothers and sisters in need. We should be lifting each other up. That means older Velocity students lifting up younger Velocity students. Why? Because you guys know what it's like to be new. You know what it's like to be shaky in your faith sometimes. And now, throughout your time here, how you've built up stronger foundations, now you can share that with other people. Why should we do this, though? Why should we help out others and be united? That's because verse 26 says, because if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members are honored with it. You know, we as Christians, we should feel the pain of our brothers and sisters, and they should feel our pain because we're such a close group. We are one body. We should be rushing to give medication to hurting people in our ministries. Medication. But not like pills and Band-Aids and Neosporin, you know what I mean? Those things really don't do anything. Those things just help mask pain. But I'm talking about things like love, like scripture reading, like counseling, like kindness, like loving one another. Those are things that heal. Those are the things that really heal. Not fake things like, you know, Tylenol. So, you guys remember in the very beginning, right? When I told you about how I Googled Velocity, right? And I didn't find much as a way to define us as this youth church, Velocity of Albuquerque. But I hope you guys have seen through the study that we just did that we could define Velocity in these three words, God, you, and us. That is the irreducible minimum of Velocity. That's what it takes for this place to be here. God, you, and us as one body. If someone says to define Velocity in its simplest form, you guys could do it with these words. You could say, it's because everything we do here is for God. Through your choice, the you part. And we're part of something very much that's bigger than us, the body of Christ. For you guys who are new, I welcome you. I can't wait to see what God is going to do with us throughout the next couple of years. You guys don't even know the possibilities that you guys can have and what God will do and bless your lives. And I just pray that you guys and everybody here who doesn't and hasn't would make the choice to live for God today, to say that I'm not going to waste any more years of my life or my life here at Velocity, no matter, or my life in high school when I get there, no matter how old you are, that you would make the choice right now to not waste your life and give it to Christ. Let's pray. God, thank you so much, God. Thanks for letting us dig into your word. Lord, I love that I can look in the Bible and get answers to life. God, you have given us this book for everything we need to know about godliness and a godly lifestyle, Lord. Lord, I pray for the fifth graders as they come in, Lord. I pray that they would just be excited, God, that they would just be excited about the possibilities, the things that you will do with them in their time here. God, I pray for all the other groups that they would rally with and behind the fifth graders, Lord. That they would encourage them to live godly lifestyles. And I just thank you for the work that I've seen you do in Velocity, God. You blow me away daily, Lord. When every time I read that I'm not ashamed of the gospel, that's what I think about, God. And I'm just so proud that so many in here today say that I am not ashamed of the gospel. Lord, just let us go in peace, God. Keep us safe. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, if any of you guys want to talk to a leader, we'll be around. I'll be up here. But if not, God bless you guys, okay?